God's house. Let's begin the service by singing page 495. Let's stand together, please, with our songbooks. Since Jesus came into my heart, let's shout it out with joy in our heart on the first 495. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for which song I have sought since Jesus.
Singing tonight. What a joy to be in God's house on a Sunday night. Tremendous crowd here this evening, and I've just enjoyed the day. Sunday school, Sunday morning, and then I know we had teachers meeting, and we're done with evening school of the Bible for summer now, a teachers meeting, and then of course the service tonight, and we're looking forward to God moving in our midst. I usually don't take time for a brief testimony, Pastor, in the introduction, but we were on vacation a few weeks ago. We were still in church, didn't take a vacation from the Lord. And it was our 25th anniversary, and so I asked my wife what she wanted to do, and she said she wanted to go zip lining. And so we're out of state, we've got all of our kids and our daughter-in-law, and we had a group of seven, and there were dual lines. The other group had three, so somebody had to go with the other group, and I chose to do that. They had three generations, a young boy and then a middle-aged man, so I zip lined with him, and then his mother was there. And so I thought, well, I might as well witness while I'm on vacation, be a testimony. And so I began to talk to the man about his soul, and he said, you know, I trusted Christ as my Savior and was baptized. I said, really, when was that? He says, you know, years ago I rode a church bus, Pastor. Wow. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And I said, do you remember the name of the church? He says, I don't really remember the name of the church. I said, was it North Valley Baptist Church? He goes, maybe, I'm not sure. And then he looks over at his mom. He says, Mom, what was the name of that church I rode the church bus? She said, North Valley Baptist Church. It's a white bus with red stripes and blue letters. And so to God be the glory, North Valley Baptist Church. What a blessing. When you go on vacation, you still can't get away from North Valley Baptist Church. And so I trust that as you leave this summer and take a week or so, you remember what God is doing here. Remember your home church. We love you so much. Looking forward to a great service tonight. Let's commit this service to prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful for your love and goodness to us. And God, I thank you for the servants of North Valley Baptist Church. Amen. God bless you. And I thank you for what you've done in our midst all these years, what you've accomplished this day. And we're just asking you to move again tonight. I pray that our hearts would be tender and open to your word. And would you speak through our pastor tonight? And we'll praise and thank you for it. Anoint every aspect, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
happy foray as we stroll through that city of pure gold. No more dying up there, no more burdens to bear, for nobody will we fever. Oh, I'm bound for that city, God's holy quiet city. Oh yes I am, I'll never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how oft I stop to pray, I'm bound for that city.
Choir, thank you, Sandy, instrumentalist. We'll have Brother Martinez sing. Choir, you don't have song books, but you'll get you on the course. It's page instrumentalist 367. But until then, you know, when I'd preached so many years at Gospelite Baptist Church in Walkertown, their choir would sing two songs on Sunday morning and two on Sunday night. I'd kind of like to get to that. Look at it's a summer night, and look at that choir. And we're so blessed. We're blessed to have you men and ladies in the choir. And I think the inspiration you are to our friends that are watching. This song was copyrighted 58. It wasn't in our song books. I can remember my pastor's wife teaching it to us. But until then, and then it's in our song books that we've had. Are we the right keeper? Are you Brother Martinez? Brother Ellie, would you come here? Bring, if you will, Brother Romero, the choir in on that course. I've been just sort of singing it all afternoon.
Yeah.
I've been singing Jesus Never Fails all afternoon. Come on, Brother Martinez. You start us off on that first dance.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. Troubled world is not my final
of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall their borrowed for a while and things of earth that cause the heart to tremble.
Page number, I had just had it. Where could I go? 498. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Summer, and in your spot this morning, and in your spot tonight. Orchestra, choir, thank you.
Where could I go but to the Lord? 498 in your songbooks as the choir joins us. Living below in this old temple.
Thank you.
I just got a news report from heaven and found out everything will be alright.
Thank you so much, Gong family. What a tremendous song. And we'll probably have you sing that at youth conference, so be ready for that. That'll be tremendous. Ushers, we can get the bulletins out at this time, please. And come on down the aisles and raise your hand if we've missed you with the bulletin. We want to make sure that we get one of those to you. And we've had a tremendous day today. I want to thank everybody for praying and volunteering in our Jumpstart campaign, which is on the back of the bulletin, number 10 there. And we were week number 2. And yesterday, we had a tremendous crowd of people out for the week number 2 volunteers and just going on bus route number 5 in the San Jose area. And we have 16 different prospects to follow up on from yesterday, just from those people that went out. That doesn't count the many, many others that were on all the other bus routes and all the different other groups soul winning. And so thank you for doing that. Today, it's amazing how this happens today. And you may see all it's a discouragement. We had 25 today on bus route number 5 with one first-time visitor. I personally know that I had 13 first-time visitors lined up. Not a single one of them came. And that happens sometimes. Who did come today is this morning. Unbeknownst to me, I did not plan on it, and I did not even know until she called me. But one of our bus moms came and sat over here in this section this morning for the very first time, who came, and she absolutely loved the service. And one of her teenagers is actually coming to youth conference next week. And so we're excited about that. And but thank you so much, all the Jumpstart volunteers. Next week, we'll conclude this very first month with week number 3. And so we're looking forward to that. There in the bulletin, you do have the youth conference announcement. We're 1 week away from tomorrow. And really on Wednesday, it really kicks off after the evening service on Wednesday. So next Sunday, actually, Pastor, you should have them singing some more songs for the choir, because next Sunday there is no choir, because this entire set is changed here in the back, and we have all the decorations that come in. And so we're excited about it, and we're looking forward to youth conference June 17th through 20th. I know we've made many announcements leading up to this, but really we have one more solid week. And I want to encourage our church family to do this, to pray. There are many, many hundreds and hundreds of delegates from across the country that are coming. Would you pray that God does something special during that week of youth conference? It would be a waste to spend all the money, spend all the time, spend all the effort as people volunteer and not have God do something special. And we've had him do some great things in the past during the youth conference. In our 41st, we're asking God again to do something amazing. And so please continue to pray, church family. And then also, if you're available during the week of youth conference, even for a single hour, one time during the week, or for several days during the week, please see Brother Kevin Padillo and volunteer for an area of maintenance. And he's out in the lobby after the service tonight. And we have had a tremendous amount of volunteers sign up, but there's still some more tasks that need to be completed. And then also for food services, and Mrs. Nora Godby always has that up and does a tremendous job. So if you're available for that, I'd like to invite you to volunteer. And then also, church family, you're more than welcome to attend the services, especially in the evening. And we have many church members that come, and just for the opening part, and then with the schedules, you may have to, may not be able to stay home, stay the entire time, may have to go home as the teenagers. We are up late during that week and looking forward to it, but you're more than welcome to attend. I encourage you to attend those sessions, not only in the morning, but especially in the evening, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. The services start at 6 o'clock, but we'll get through some of the different preliminaries and some of the different games and activities that we have going on, but we're very much looking forward to Youth Conference.
Ushers, if you would, please grab the visitor brochure at this time. And if you are a guest with us tonight, we'd like to give you an informational packet. You go in and just raise your hand. Our ushers will be sure you get that. And then you can fill it out and put it in the offering plate, and it tells more about our ministry. And we are so delighted to have you in church this evening. Like Brother Everson mentioned, my family was also out of town last week. And Brother Everson, it just so happened I was also on a zip line. And as I was going up over the river, I was sitting next to someone who also was a member of North Valley Baptist Church. It happened to be my wife, and we had a great time. And it has nothing to do with anything, but I just thought it was kind of neat that we shared that same situation. My wife and I were able to attend with our family. We were visiting in Branson, Missouri. And I think people out there were a little bit shocked when we told them we're from California. And they said, what in the world are you doing out here? And of course, we heard all the political jokes and things that kind of come along with it. But we were able to attend a church there, Calvary Baptist Church. Ironically, they used our songbooks. They had our hymn books there. And we had a great time with them. But as we were there, it put a longing in my heart to be back here with the people of North Valley Baptist Church. And I don't say that in a way to brag that we're something special, but I do hope we realize how good God has been to us. You know, while we were on vacation, I was reading through the book of Joshua in my Bible time. And it was amazing to read the victories that God had given to the children of Israel, victory after victory after victory. And as they came into the promised land, he gave them more victory. But even though at times maybe there was a standstill, God still had more victories for them as they pressed on to that promised land. And I don't know about you, but as you look around the world today, it's easy to get discouraged with what's going on in the world. Yet I came to this evening and I have been encouraged. Amen. Every single song praising the name of Jesus Christ. Again, refocusing our minds and our thoughts and our attention, not on this land, but on the land to come. Yeah. On that heavenly kingdom. Amen. And the fact that until then, we have a God who walks with us, who's there to guide us and help us. And can I just encourage you, North Valley Baptist Church family, don't lose sight of what's to come. And let's keep working diligently to that end, because I believe that God still has great days ahead for the North Valley Baptist Church. There are still battles to win. There are victories to be had. There are souls to be reached. And I believe that God wants to use us, that your faithfulness, even in the summer months, is truly a testament to your lives. And I just thank God to be back here with you and to be part of this great service tonight.
Let's not forget, I believe there's a summer social tonight, is that right? So the senior class will be out in the courtyard and first floor. And I echo what he said. Thank you, choir. Oh, my goodness, to hear you singing these songs tonight in the orchestra, packed choir. And I never get over it. God's been so, so good to us. And then, of course, to see you up in the balcony, we're grateful that you're here. I do want to remind you that our anniversary is coming up. The church anniversary will be 49 years of age on July the 14th. And we're going to have a great time planned. Mrs. Jackie Van Dyke, the chairman of our deacon's wife, she has it all organized already for a big social after church. I'm not certain this is true, but I think she's got hamburgers being grilled and whatnot. But I'll tell you more about that. It's a wonderful time. We'll have the offering for this month of June and July for the expansion and remodel out front, and we're looking forward to getting that all taken care of. I'd like to see the deacons right afterwards. I think Brother Van Dyke sent you an email, and people hear that say, okay, what's going on? Well, what's going on? Tuesday night's deacons meeting, and I got looking that we're so busy with youth conference this week that I thought I'd maybe try to help the deacons by having a brief meeting downstairs tonight. It won't take long. Ladies, you can stay, and we'll get that taken care of. Just a few things I want to tell the deacons. When I ask them for a raise, one thing, and that's one thing we want to do, and I'm not asking for a raise, but so if you'll just see me real quickly at the close, as soon as you get there, we can get you on your way within about 5 minutes. And Wednesday night is June the 10th, right? I struggled with that last week, wasn't it? It wasn't June the 10th, but we're following the day of the week, and I'm already ready for Wednesday night in the book of Proverbs. I hope you'll come, and I think it's so very important. You know, I was telling our class this morning, we have young couples, and predominantly, I think this is true. In years gone by, I'd have parent baby dedication where I held all the babies, always 20, 25 babies. And if they were noisy, it's just natural. I could automatically get them quiet. I guess my chest is always rattled and my throat's always rattled. I put those little kids right here. But I said, I really believe these babies know my voice. And I had several mothers tell me today, I think that's true. Sometimes my baby would be moving all around during your preaching. Other times you'd put them to sleep. So I'm still doing the same thing now. But they say, I really believe my baby knows your voice. Keep your kids in God's house. Amen. Just always in God's house. Amen. And I was able to tell you about that song, 1958. I can remember us singing that song, but until then, ushers come. And the Bible makes it very clear to us, upon the first day of the week, that's today. Amen. Let every one of you, that's all of us, lay by him in store, as God has prospered them, that there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, God says, be be correct in your tithing. Be honest with it. Be caught up with it. And so very important today just to constantly, and I know there's huge pressure on you right now with this economy. I know it because I know, Brother Sly, the huge pressure that's on you and really on me right now with the economy. Everything is so expensive. And we're just trying to take care of everything. God's paying the bills. I don't want to let you think that the thing is falling apart, but it's tough. And I think it's tough on a lot of you folks. And I understand that. Groceries are higher, gasoline's higher, insurance is higher. Everything, utilities are higher. That's part of it. But I tell you what, I think it's so important, regardless whatever the economy is doing, that we found faithful in tithing. Always giving. I don't know how it works, but God blesses 90% when we give him the tithe and beyond. Amen. And the bills will be paid. Our Father, I love these people so much. I wish I had the words to express it, how grateful I am. They've allowed my wife and I to be here these many years. And I'm loving it more today than ever. Such a joy to serve you from this place. I think of that testimony of Brother Everson as he talked about a vacation where he was away and the man was saved on the buses from this church. What an encouragement to me to hear that. Thank you for the good crowds we're having all summer. You've been so good to us. Bless these gifts now as we give to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus Christ. We'll dismiss the Wiggle Worms as we sing 272 in your songbooks, please. Page 272. Children, get ready as we sing the first verse. A Child of the King. 272. Lift it up as we sing the first now.
One side of the soul.
orchestra come around and join you today. I really do get confused about the dates. That's what I was going to tell you Wednesday. I do work ahead. You know, many of our stations, I have to get radio programs 2 weeks in advance ahead. And so I'm working on those that are ahead of time. And I'm always working on the calendar for next year. And I couldn't remember what the date was, but it's the 12th this Wednesday. Is that correct? And so I do know we're in Proverbs chapter 12 on Wednesday. And there's a key word I want you to see. And I believe that it's going to be a help to all of us. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Jeremiah 29. And we'll have Stephanie, God bless you. We're proud of you. And grew up here. She'll be singing for us. We're in Jeremiah 29. And I'll read just one verse with you right now. The Bible says in 29:1, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives." What a sad, sad thing. And they were carried away, the latter part of the verse, captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. We're in a series on this Sunday nights on what happens and when a nation forgets God. When a nation forgets God, we saw in week one, right before Memorial Day, and this will go through July 4th. When a nation forgets God, the blessings of God are removed. We sing, "God blessed America. He has so blessed us, showered down his blessings." And I see a lot of you nodding your head. That's an encouragement. God has blessed us. But when a nation forgets God, you remove blessings. And when a nation forgets God, secondly, you begin to experience the curses of God, where God has to deal with us. And last week we noticed when a nation forgets God, the pastors and the people corrupt. Hosea says, like pastor, our prophet, our priest, like pastor, like people. We get the president that we deserve. We got the president right now we deserve. But I just believe that God can turn this around. Tonight, when a nation forgets God, message number 4, we experience bondage. You know, bondage for me is not the end of the world. I've lived decades of a long life with the blessings of God on this country. Tremendous blessings. So if I have to put up with a little bondage, I'm too near my heavenly home. And I tell you what grieves my heart, what my children and grandchildren are going to have. They are so, so sweet. We have 14 grandkids. You hear it all the time. The eldest is Ashlyn. She's 22. She'll text me generally several times a week. And I love our grandkids. They share with me personally when we see them, personal prayer requests. And I'm so grateful. And some things I'm praying for, that it's between a papa and a grandchild. I love our grandkids. Those that are away from us in Arizona and in Southern California, and those that are right here, they just bring such joy to our heart. I can't imagine in suffering because of the stupidity and sin of my generation. I don't want that for them. I won't have to worry. If the Lord tarries, I'll be in heaven. I'd rather be here straightening things out best my ability, so they won't have to have that. Our Father, the only hope to this nation is your people. Everything could change tonight at this invitation if just one church would get thoroughly right with you. And revival would come to this place. Sometimes I wonder if we're in revival. I see that choir just so packed every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, the orchestra, the people of God coming. It's amazing. Speak to us, please, God. May we be passionate about seeing this thing change as we come back to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around, now the nations bow down to sing. The holy sound is the praise.
If you will let the fellows come around, we're in Jeremiah 29. And as you turn there once again, Jonathan and Rubio, good to have you here and that bride-to-be in just a few days. We're glad you're with us today. And then we have Mrs. Galvan here, and we're thankful for you and your husband and the great church. Thank you for having the tour group recently with you. Two of her boys and some other fellows are leaving tomorrow to go to Estonia. And so far, I think I'm up to about 12 or 14 countries where we've been, our church family so far this year, this summer. I'm going to publish them all the first Sunday in September. So you'll see where we get to go. And it's not like, okay, you bad people. I'm glad you get to go to these places and around the world and seeing what God's doing and serving. We have folks on mission fields this summer. And I'm thankful for the groups that are out serving the Lord tonight. From our college, we're having a Brother Everson, you know, Brother Oxendine, we're just having an incredible summer. The enrollment is stronger this summer than any other summer. Sometimes, you know, Mrs. Manley taught me this years ago, you get to about July 1st and you add one, you lose one. You add two, you lose two. It just works that way. But we have been May and now June adding just constantly and have a good enrollment up, real up, strong. And we're grateful for that. Brother Lawman's one of the groups that out. Let's see, he was in Toledo this morning, and Toledo and in Michigan, Ohio. And he's been going to different churches, and he'll video the pastor. And they always give a word of greeting to Brother Trevor. That's encouraging to me. And pastors, thank you for having our people in. And they're having good meetings everywhere they're going. And I appreciate all those dear churches that help us along the way. Brother Andy Harrell, the one group was supposed to be with him, and the tornadoes were coming through that city, so they had everybody stay stationary. There was no service that morning. And yet our tour group said he still gave us a very generous love offering and fed us and put us in hotels. And so we thank God for all these churches. You know, we have a lot of friends in this nation, so many friends. And one day you're gonna go to heaven if you're saved, and you're gonna say, you're a KNBBC listener. I know you, and I know your name, and you'll get to meet all these folks. I hope these messages are not coming across critical towards you. There's not a greater church in America than this church right here. I truly believe that. I've had the joy of crisscrossing this country for at least 45 years preaching. And I'm going to the East Coast so many times yet this year, back and forth, just preaching, and be back always on Wednesday. And everywhere I go, your faith is spoken of. You're good people. You're faithful people. You're giving people. You love people. You care for people. And you're prayer warriors. And I'm so grateful. And I believe every pastor should feel this way. I feel like if revival doesn't come here, it may not come in America. I just as a pastor sense that. And I hope that you feel that way. I hope every pastor feels that way about his church. I just believe a revival can happen. I believe it can happen.
Amen.
Yeah. Tonight we're seeing where a nation goes into bondage. And what are you going to do when this nation, if the Lord tarries and God doesn't send revival, what are you going to do? Again, some of us in this room will perhaps be gone. But if this nation goes into bondage, what are you going to do? Jeremiah tells you what to do when you go into bondage. And I believe whether it's bondage or not, I believe we ought to be doing what he is saying here. I want you to notice with me, just by way of introduction, if you'll back up to chapter 20. And I'd like you to follow with me. In fact, I'll have you read some verses that I make sure that you're staying with me on this thing. In Jeremiah chapter 20, and Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because he is weeping for his people. For thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 20 verse 4. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. They shall fall by the sword, their enemies, and thy eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon and shall slay them with the sword. Stop right there. Don't turn, please. This is where the Jeremiah the prophet is saying, you're going to bondage. If we don't get right, you're going into bondage. He's going to tell him you're going to go for 70 years. Another false prophet's going to come by and say, do not listen to Jeremiah. He's a liar. He's not telling you the truth. But Jeremiah was telling the truth. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 21 and verse number 2. Inquire, I pray thee. This is the king saying, inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. We are experiencing something. We see the prelude to this captivity and judgment. And they said, man of God, we want you to pray. Go to chapter 22, please, in 22, and you're listening so well. And verse number 25, I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, into the hand of those whose face thou fearest, even the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. We know Babylon is always represented a false religion. Genesis 12, Nimrod built the Tower of Babel, and false religion, both the gods and goddess. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about Babylon, a religious society, a religious, what we would call church, a religious woman, the Bible says. And Babylon is going to, in final days, be destroyed. On the seven hills, you look up seven hills, he says seven hills is going to be destroyed. Well, in the, you look it up in your Wikipedia, your dictionary, your iPad, your phone, your computer. If you write seven hills, it will say it's always known as Rome. Rome is going to be under fire one day. But Rome is first going to have her way. Especially during the tribulation, they're going to war against God. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 25. In chapter 25 and verse number 12, he talks about these 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon. You cannot touch God's people without judgment. And he's promising it. Now he says you're going to go through this for how long? 70 years. How long? 70 years. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a hardship. The children of Israel went through 40 years in hard labor. And they were under Pharaoh's domination. But God says it's going to be 70 years. And in that 70 years, what are you going to do? If America continues down this path like we have the last nearly 4 years, where our president said on Easter Sunday, this is a day dedicated to transvestites. You imagine if he said that on a Muslim holiday of Ramadan? That was blasphemy against our Savior Jesus. When they're advocating always these changes to change a child's physical being from being a boy to being a girl. When he's advertising that boys ought to be able to go in the showers of the girls' locker room, and that's appropriate. That is not appropriate. Thank God, Brother Fader, for the Christian school. And more than just rescuing the kids out of bondage, it's Christian education from a God's perspective. I don't know how we can place our kids in that environment. I can't even imagine it. That we put ourselves, God's word says, learn not the way of the heathen. And here we have experienced such gross living. More abortions last year than birth. More divorces than marriages. Do you remember that this, please hear me, is the only nation in the world that was established as a Christian nation. And it's the only nation in the world that still, three times the Supreme Court said this is a Christian nation. But we're spitting in the face of a holy God. Pastors, last week, I believe we're spitting at God when we will not keep our churches open. This is such an urgent hour. Our children, our teenagers, our young couples, our young single adults, our middle-aged people, our senior saints, we need more church in 2024 in the summer. So, well, let's just take the summer off. I know it's not a Baptist church, but I know of a Protestant church that they take the entire, and it's a movement, take the entire summer off to give you time with your family. I'll tell you what, you're my family too. I want to be with this family, and I want to worship God, whether it's summer or fall or winter, but you name it. I can't believe that pastors are closing their churches on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Here we get to chapter 29. And in chapter 29, the Bible says that you're carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. You're going to live in a foreign land. Think of this. Babylon had a different language. These people were stolen out of their country in this first deportation and taken to Babylon. And there they were, young couples with children, expectant ladies, elderly people, and they took them and put them in another country. They did not know the language. They did not know the customs. They did not have a house to live. They didn't know anything about food and where it was going to come from. Their entire life was turned upside down. Now, what are you going to do when you are in a place of bondage? What are you going to do if it's not just another country, but what are you going to do when you lose your job and you're into bondage? What are we going to do when we're still here and we say goodbye to a mate? What are you going to do? And it's easy for me to say that because I've not gone through that. This last year, 13, 14 months, has taught me I just don't want to live without that lady. She's in the nursery, so I can say this. I tell you what, I've tried always to be a good husband to her, but whatever she wants, I'll go do it. She wants an ice pack in the middle of the night. I'll go get it. She wants some whatever it is. And she's lived that way. It's easy for me because I've had a wife that's lived that way for over 50-some years for me. And now this privilege I get, I want to take care of every single need that lady has. I want to do with joy in my heart. I cannot imagine ever living without her. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. I don't know what your bondage is. It may not be some foreign power that takes you into another country. It may be great sorrow that entered into your life. I know a man, and now, of course, it's 50 years later. He got married, went to Bible college. His bride went to Bible college. They got married. On the honeymoon, an awful accident, and she was killed on that first day. Killed. Life came to an end. It's not how you plan it. Some people I know, when tragedy strikes, bondage strikes, and we walk out on God, that's the time you need God more than ever. Amen. Your life will derail. What do you do when you go into bondage? What does a nation do? As we are not headed toward, we're in bondage. We're under the judgment hand of God. What do you do? It's so incredible. Chapter 29. The first thing we do is found in verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all them that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. What's the first thing we're supposed to do? Verse 5. Three words. Ready? Build ye houses. I want you to build houses. I want you to dwell in them. You're going to be here 70 years. I want you to plant gardens and eat the fruit. Why? You bloom. You know the rest of it, don't you? You bloom where you're what? Where you're planted. Life throws you a curveball. You can spend your life from that sorrow, from that disappointment, from that betrayal, that heartache, that captivity, that bondage. Or you can say, I'm going to build a house. Amen. I'm going to root my family. I'm in a foreign land. But God says, what do you do while you're there for 70 years? Isn't it amazing? God said, build your houses. Stability. Stability. Your anchor. It's such a wonderful mother and dad. We had a nice house and cost $7,000 and over here in Centerville, which is now Fremont, little one-car garage. And then we went in business, and my dad lost it. Not lose that house, but we lost the business. And we went into renting two bedrooms in Stockton, California. Not a two-room house, two bedrooms we rented. Three kids and a mother and dad. We rented, my dad rented those bedrooms. We didn't have a kitchen. We didn't have a living room. We didn't have a family room. At Marge Matthews, Marge said, she drove a beautiful 19 brand new 58 Chevy. Marge said now to my mother, Emily, you've been living in my house, renting these two rooms. The Nestle salesman is next to you there. This other salesman, he rents a room over there. And she says, but I never see your family eating dinner. Where do you eat? And my mother said, we eat across the street in the morning at that park. I sent Jack down to there's a little house on the corner, one block away. And that was a little grocery store. It was an actual house. And he gets a milk and I put it on the outside ledge of the window. Keeps it cool through the night. And we have breakfast there. And then I make the kids a lunch. And then at night we go over here to Oak Park and we barbecue. She said, you don't have to do that. The house we were living in, renting those two rooms, it's now very run down, a very difficult place, drug infested. But they're beautiful, big old homes, huge homes, built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. There were doctors and lawyers that owned those big homes. And her house was so beautiful. I'll never forget it. And it had a beautiful family room, ornate furniture. And she said, Emily, you can use the kitchen and the dining room. Brother Woodman, in the dining room where my father sat, there was a button under that beautiful piece of carpet. And you'd push it, and previous people, the maid would come. Man, we were living in two rooms and we had a maid, but there was no maid. It was my mother. But I'd ring that button. It was awesome. You know what you do when your life is unraveling? I'm preaching to myself. You root yourself. Yes, sir. You bloom where you're planted. I just saw a face of one of our members and life threw that person a curve. My wife and I talk about this person all the time. And I saw another one and how that these people just keep on going. I wonder how many times there's sorrow and disappointment and loneliness, but they just keep going. It's not like I'm the only one in the world that's ever had a problem. And their problem's greater than any problem I've ever faced. And their situation's greater than mine. But what encouragement they bring to us. You anchor yourself, Hananiah. Hananiah said in chapter 29, verse 28, you think Jeremiah's going to come rescue you? He's not. People ridicule. You think that church is going to help you out? I find that we root ourselves. Look at verse 6. What do you do secondly? You build a strong home. Take you wives. Beget sons. Daughters, take wives for your sons. Give your daughters to husband. They may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there, not diminished. Where's there? Babylon, 70 years. Someone told me years ago, we're not going to have children because we feel like America, this is decades ago, America's going into bondage. America's going to have wars. And we just don't want to bring kids into this society. That's not what God says. Who knows, you might be bringing the Jonathan Edwards, the great flaming preacher of the 1700s. You may be bringing Finney. You may be bringing D.L. Moody. You may be bringing Billy Sunday. You may be bringing a man of God. You may be bringing a Ronald Reagan to the White House. Who knows the child you're going to bear for God that can, you might bring an Adoniram Judson, the first American missionary that went to Burma and preached the gospel, left him a word of God. Oh, he suffered in prisons. And they beat him in prisons, bamboo huts, and they put over 100 people, men and women, in these bamboo, hot, humid, every day over 100, high humidity. And they never allow them to go outside of that little bamboo area and even relieve themselves. That stench, where men and women had to stay in that same stench, and filth, rats would come in there. But he left the Burma Bible. Sorrow after sorrow, and his wife, he'd been working 11 years on his Bible. And one day she came to see him, and she had a pillow, and the guard allowed her to have a pillow, but it wasn't a pillow. It was wrapped, the manuscripts. She had buried the manuscripts, only manuscripts left, and he worked on those manuscripts, and he'd try to read those manuscripts, and he'd hide them, and he brought them back to her. So she could hide him once again. After a while, and he's in jail and in prison, and he comes home to see Anne, and he was released for a while, and he came home to see an emaciated woman dying, and she did die. And then his children began to die as he's given himself to that great country to get the gospel. And then his second wife died, and then his third wife died. But he gave the gospel and led tens of thousands of people to come to know Christ.
Praise God.
God says, all right, you're in bondage. Not only build houses, but build strong homes. Kids, you think you're the first generation to have some sorrows? That previous generation of mine, my grandparents and my parents, they faced whether it was World War I or World War II or the stock market crash for 11 years that they went through, my dad and my mother, that era of their life, whether it was the Black Plague, whether it was the Spanish flu that killed more than the wars did, 50 million people were died with that, or whether it be Dust Bowl that came from Mexico up to Canada, through Oklahoma, through Texas, Oklahoma, and all that Midwest and Kansas, and removed the dirt and displaced it. Nothing happened for 11 years. My folks and that generation, they lived through that and brought us out of it and came to 1945 when the war stopped. And then factories began to open again, and houses began to be built again in America for the first time. And cars began to be reproduced again. And churches were growing and moving forward again. And America was on the mend. They had courage. And you build strong homes. Pray with your children. Play with your children. Precept your children. Punish them, discipline them, correct them. Oh my goodness, throw yourself into your family. That's what he says. He says, once you build houses, verse 5. And once you get children, get marriages. He says something interesting. I want you to pray for your city. Look at verse 7. And seek the peace of the city. Not Jerusalem. Seek the peace of the city wherewith I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray unto the Lord for it. For what? The city. And in peace ye shall have peace. I've written myself a note here. SC, Santa Clara. Would you pray for Santa Clara?
Amen.
Would you pray for Santa Clara?
Yes, sir.
That this church might pray for our city and reach our city with the gospel. I'm going to be speaking this week with our pastors. What can we do in our 50th year, beginning January 1st? Yes, to keep trying to reach this area. Buses are going everywhere. But what can we do? What can we do to reach Santa Clara? To warn Santa Clara that Jesus is coming again. To try to win Santa Clarence to Christ. What can we do with the police department? What can we do for the fire department? What can we do for the first responders? What can we do for our political leaders down there at City Hall? What can we do for our neighbors? What can we do for the poor people of our city, for the rich people of our city? What can we do for the senior citizens of this city? I know one thing we can pray. I know one of the programs I want us to have is all the public schools. And I'm going to ask people to sign up, preferably husbands or wives, because I don't think it's good for a man to pull up by a school and just have his car parked out there. You know, during COVID, all the city hall was shut down. I'd go over there to the city hall and the doors were locked shut. But there's a bench over there right by the entrance of the doors. And I don't know if they were watching me online or what. And I'd go there and pray at that bench and pray for our mayor and pray for our city council and pray for our police department. That's something I could do during COVID. I want every public school to be prayed over every week and not just, you know, bless the food to our bodies, amen, type prayer. I mean, pray for the safety of those boys and girls and pray for the teachers of those schools and pray for the principal of that school and pray for the parents of that school. I'm talking about elementary schools and junior high schools and high schools. We've got to do something for this city. That's what God says. When you go for 70 years, build houses and plant gardens. When you go, have marriages and have children. And when you go, pray for your city. Yeah. I'm about done. Verse number 9. He said, I want you to be discerning when you go into bondage, for they will prophesy falsely unto you in my name. They'll do this in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. You be very discerning what they're trying to do in D.C. right now, turning us against one another. New book came out again, The Dangers of Christian White American. That's awful. You know what any dictator always does? Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, they always pit people against one another. Race against race. Rich against poor, uneducated against educated, male against female, child against parent. They always pit. You know, one of the things I love of this church, it's like an Acts 2 church, Acts 1 and 2. It's like a Matthew chapter 2 church when Jesus was born. They all came from all these different nationalities and different cities. And Acts chapter 2, they were all with one accord. I've just been rejoicing again that to think that God's given us a Filipino ministry and over at the other property tonight, a big crowd, Spanish ministry and a Chinese ministry and a Brazilian ministry. And did I say Filipino ministry? I think I did. Maybe I did not. And all these ministries. God's given us a bus ministry. I saw those bus kids up there. They just moved my heart. I see the kids coming in. I saw a girl, probably a little 13-year-old girl coming in today. She couldn't even say hello to me. She had a big old, just a sweet, pretty little Caucasian girl. Had earrings in her nose and just look, she just a strange, distant look on her heart. But I want to tell you something. That girl came to church. And I'm just so grateful that you come to the house of God. You be careful of people to try to draw you away from Christ. Draw you away from the house of God. That's not of God. And they said, well, I don't care what Jeremiah tells you. You don't believe him. I close in verse 15. God's going to judge the God haters. Because I've said, the Lord hath raised us prophets in Babylon. I know that thus saith the Lord, King of hosts, that sitteth upon the throne of David, all the people that dwell in this city, and your brethren that are not gone with you in the captivity. Thus saith the Lord, I will send unto them the sword, the famine, the pestilence, that's like COVID, that's diseases. And I will make of them like vile figs that they cannot be eaten. And I will persecute them with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence. And will deliver them to be removed from the kingdoms of the earth. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord. I sent unto them my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear them. Hear therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. He said, I want you to listen up. He said, I'm going to take care of all this. I'm going to take care of it. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God's going to take care of you, folks. But I'm living in bondage. God will take care of you. And if we're not careful, we get wound up with the bondage where God says, go ahead and build some houses.
Good.
And build yourself some vegetable gardens and fruit trees and get married and have children and get mates for your children. You're going to be there 70 years. And keep turning to me. Keep listening to me, and you be careful. Be very discerning. Don't listen to a lie. Don't listen to the things that will take you away from me. And by the way, when 70 years are over, I'm going to deal with all this. But you better enjoy the journey and the ride now, because you're going to be living there for about 70 years. Let's stand together, please. Lord, how I love your word. I love these people. I love this text. And sometimes we get overwhelmed at the position we find ourselves where your word says just the opposite. We ought to enjoy the journey. We ought to be grateful for the journey. Lord, nothing's going to touch us but that it's going to help us. Everything's going to be Father filtered that touches me. And so I have to rejoice in the Lord, knowing that all things are going to work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called. Young men, don't give up. Don't quit. So America used to be bad. Now, you know, every generation's talked about how bad it is. God's raising you up, boys, to build houses, to get married, to have children, to trust God. If you're here without Christ, would you get saved tonight? Christ is your only hope. He is your only hope. You're battling your marriage. You're battling drugs. You're battling alcohol. You're battling depression. You're battling whatever it might be. Oh, Christ is the answer. Come to Christ tonight. In a moment, the pianist will play, and there'll be men here to deal with men and women with women that show you how to be saved in just a matter of moments. Christ is the answer. Christians, will we just enjoy where we are? Say, I have no money. Well, you're probably going to live that way the rest of your life. We've never had enough, but we've always been taken care of. God's always met every need. The altar is open. The pianist plays. Come on, please, come. Come on, come on. Don't give up hope. We're in the midst of bondage and sorrow and disappointment and things fall. Go build a house. Well, I can't afford it. No, go build a garden. Pray in a husband, pray in a wife, pray in some kids and mates for their kids, your kids, and grandkids. Keep your eyes alert and awake. These are great days to serve God. Trust the Lord. Trust Him. seeing those buses go out and come back in. Shuttle buses running everywhere. Parking lot attendants in their place and security and Sunday school teachers standing, teaching the Word of God. Preachers in our ministry preaching. Choirs singing, all the choir and the orchestra. How we lean upon them. Thank you for giving us that privilege. This special music has been so beautiful today. The privilege to bring our tithes and offerings and to preach the Word of God. Think of that message this morning on God's final call, Revelation 22. And yet in the very end, you're still calling, come. The Spirit of the bride say, come. And him that is athirst say, come. Oh, whosoever will, oh, may we come. Thank you for what we've enjoyed today. Thank you for tonight. God, though we are families not in bondage with another country necessarily at this point, so many folks struggle financially, emotionally, even spiritually. God, we see from this text, though Nebuchadnezzar rises up, you're still on the throne. Bless these dear, dear people tonight is my prayer. Give us a good week for thee. And I pray that you give us strength to be here on Wednesday night for a great service. Getting prayer requests for youth conference. Oh, God, only you can do what needs to be done. I pray that we be a people praying for the safety of these that are driving in vans and cars and buses and tour buses all over this region in America to come to this place. Please give safety. The folks will be flying in here. Give them safety. Bless the preachers that preach. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great crowd up in the balcony. Thank you for being there on the lower floors. God bless you. Straighten up the songbook rack, will you please? I want to just sing that little chorus, Jesus Never Fails. And deacons, as we begin to sing it, if you'll just sort of slip on down, use the elevator or the stairs, and I'll just keep you 5 minutes. We have, what we say we have, chicken tonight? Is that what it is? Barbecue chicken and rice and beans? Ho, ho! When do we get hot dogs? I know on July 3rd is a Wednesday night. We have a patriotic service. And kids, that's when you get sixth grade below your North Valley Patriotic shirt, every year a t-shirt. We'll have jumps out here. We'll have a big, big food fest that night. And you'll see more about it. And it'll be wonderful for you folks that are working so diligently this week in the conference. God bless you and thank you. Wednesday night is our final offering by the grace of God for the student scholarship. I don't know what last Wednesday's offering was, yet we were $4,400 short. Normally it's about $600 to $800 to $1,000. So I don't know where it is, but we'll find out by Wednesday. Let's sort of wrap that up this Wednesday night. Sing it a cappella. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away. But Jesus never fails. I'm so grateful for you. I love you so much. I want to say, Dennis, I want to say a word. Thank you for what you did in the funeral this week. Dennis owns two funeral homes in Fremont, Chapel of the Roses. And you're so appropriate with our people all the time. And I pray, they all say, what a comfort you are. And you are a great comfort to me this week. And so easy to work with. That's the way it ought to be. God bless you. I love you, folks. Thank you for being who you are. God bless you. You are dismissed.